It is. Thank you. Right, good morning, everyone. Thanks very much for coming along this morning. So I'm going to be chairing, facilitating this the next three talks in this session this morning. And we'll kick off with one on Fedora Foundational Considerations, which is a joint effort from Ben, Karen, and Tom. So I'll hand over to them.
I wonder what my chances are if I... in a spectacularly poor feat of logistical planning, I took the notes on the same machine that my slides were on, so I'm having to work some things out. I'm Ben Armentour, and I'm starting with the, I guess, what were you calling it yesterday, Tom? The... That is something like vision or speculative part of
the theory.
I'm the theory guy. The theoretical foundation. So I'm calling this, this is kind of a test drive for something longer that I would like to do at some point about the relationship between open source projects and our space more broadly, called mutually assured construction. So When we're talking about interfaces on these projects, we can talk about a lot of different things. Sometimes we're talking about the relationship between classes inside a project, or you know, whatever the atom of function in your programming language is. Sometimes we're talking about the network connections between different software projects. We might be talking about a physical thing, right? The interface between this video connector and the laptop here. We might be talking about the relationship between organizations that create all of these things. And these interfaces all do things. I'm invoking a little bit here of actually some social theory about border spaces, but boundaries define things. So one thing that they do is establish the inside-outside characteristic of social groups, but they also define the agreed definitions by which we agree to work with other groups. So that's a thing that I want to focus on right here is what are the ways that the boundaries that we operate in are. Can everybody read this? Because the reading is important. Is it Steve? No, it's not my style. So the boundaries are not unitary. They mutate over time. They're permeable in context. So we might understand there to be an interface boundary between Hydra and Fedora. But from other points of view, there are interface boundaries between Hydra projects that need to work together in an agreed upon context, but might have different concerns as they work. And this leads us when you are starting to talk about how those potentially competing groups inside a project interact. You ask questions that sound almost poetic, like how is a plum like a golden seal? And the answer is that they share an agreed organizational boundary. There's an agreed upon space of collaboration. We call that Fedora in Hydra, but that's not necessarily referring even to a software project. And I think the Fedora technical lead in the audience would nod sagely along with me if it's a practice. It's an architecture. It's also a software product. So specifications. What are they, and what do they do? If we think back to some of the things that were on those slides, there we're asking questions to ourselves right now, like what has been talking about. Is Hydra the dove or the air? Is Fedora the rat or the labyrinth? Does the answer to those questions depend on whether we're at Open Repositories or Hydra Connect? All of these quotes are actually a genealogy of something that I thought would be useful, which is this quote, which I thought was a quote attributed to Michelangelo, but is usually attributed to Da Vinci, but is phrased in a way that is presented by this art critic André Gide, that is paraphrasing the Da Vinci quote, and he is using it in an argument about Kant and Camus. So the other thing that is useful about these agreed upon collaboration spaces is that they minimize the surety with which we start to think that we understand the world. Right? They prevent us from thinking that the way that we are doing something right now is the correct way to do it into the future. It protects us from ourselves, and it allows us to do things in a way that can create value for other entities that may not even be present in the negotiation at the time. So when we talk about a Fedora specification and we talk about Hydra's notion of what a repository is, we're working something out that might benefit an entity that is neither Hydra or Fedora, or maybe just not Hydra now. The beneficiary may be Hydra in the future. And this is what I mean when I think about a mutually assured construction, because that tension between these entities is something that allows us to safeguard ourselves from both our own worst tendencies and also our unknown future needs. And I think I'm running into Karen's time. So that is my argument for the value of Fedora as the thing that we argue with.
Whoa.
So now that our theoretical baseline has been established and we're all on the same page, we can now go into a practical use case of what this might mean for us. So I'm going to talk about importing and exporting bags and mention a sprint we did at Penn State. If you actually want technical details on that of what we actually did, I encourage you to go to Esme's lightning talk following this. Me, however, I'm just going to talk about what it means structurally. So, the case of importing and exporting bags. We had a use case at Penn State where we knew we wanted to import and export bags, and we wanted to do it for two different reasons. One was that we wanted to use some of our third-party preservation tools that require bags to go into those systems. The other is that, like at my previous institution, we wanted to get off of Content DM and go into a Hydra application, and I had used bags previously as a good way of combining all those assets. However, if you were in the talk earlier, you might learn that was also a slow way. Which leads us to this question of, if we have a feature request that we need, how do we decide what level of the stack is actually appropriate for that request? In our previous institution, we had done it at the app level, and it was very slow and it was difficult. If we look at where we actually want to import and export from with the assets, Fedora seems to make sense. It's our repository. We also gain, beyond Hydra, the Islandora community, and others who are using Fedora. So all of a sudden, we have increased the brain power, the work, and what we need to accomplish our feature goals. So communication and requirements, thanks to, again, this great tech manager in the audience, we had someone who helped us communicate across the Hydra community to other communities, identify the stakeholders, and then put that all up on the wiki that we could use for our sprint. This was very important, of course. How are we actually separating out the needs for Hydra versus the other needs, and where do those line up? So those conversations and communication was vital to making sure that this could be a successful project. Then what we want to do was organize for action at the Hydra Sprint. Now this is very interesting because what we actually set up prior to the sprint was a Fedora-specific sprint. And Andrew organized all that. I take no credit whatsoever. But what was great with that is we had a basis to then move on from for what comes next at the Hydra level. And by working on Fedora next to Hydra at the same sprint, we're also able to feed off each other and figure out what we need to do to go forward. So we have this lovely group of people in front of you, some of whom are in the audience, and about a third of the people in this photo actually worked on the Fedora import-export part of the sprint. We also were able to bring in stakeholders, both virtually and at Penn State, to help inform the use cases as we were working in production. So what do we actually do? Well, as I said, Esme will tell you really what we did. But I do encourage you to look at this link below. We accomplished a lot. By being able to work together, I think that we got very far on the profiles that we would need across the different systems by testing tools and testing requirements. And I think that we have moved quite a bit forward in this process. We do not have bags yet, but you are able to get data in and out of Fedora, and that will be a next step going forward. So, and thanks to Carolyn Cole, her children, and my husband, we have a CycloDraga unicorn, and I want to really point this out because sometimes everything that we dream about does not quite come true. So we did not manage to get bags done in this sprint. Part of what didn't work well was timing and scheduling. The Fedora sprint that took place previously was only 2 weeks before, so it didn't give us quite as much time as we had hoped eventually to move forward. I had really hoped that we would actually get more Fedora programmers at the event, but in the end, we had Esme and a great team, including Adam Weed and others from Penn State to help inform, and Nick Rouet also participated and led that team, but we didn't have a core of Fedora people working alongside us, and next time, I think we could do better recruiting along those lines. Everything else worked absolutely smoothly and was brilliant, and you'll see the results of that soon, I promise. Finally, I'm jealous of Ben and his quotes, and so I had to add a quote to this screen as well. But I think this quote is very apt when we think about what Fedora actually means for us and what it means in the future. Because Fedora can change, it should change, and has changed according to community needs, and it needs to be continually informed along those lines so it can evolve as we move forward. And with that, we'll move on to Tom.
Thank you, Karen. So we're going to go from the grand theory to practical examples to the specific asks. So I'm here to close the deal. I don't know if you've seen Key and Peele, but there's a really good skit with Obama's anger translator, and I think I'm like Ben's reality translator. So I'm going to try to put this into them is us. And I think part of this comes from a little bit is the boundaries, the conditions that Ben was talking about with social theory, which is where does Hydra start and stop and where does Fedora start and stop? And there's a temptation within the Hydra community to say Hydra is the Ruby on Rails framework and Fedora or some backend is this other abstract concern, and we don't really have to, if that's not performant or if that needs features, that's for someone else to do. And that's why the name of this is Them is Actually Us. So just a little bit of history. What is Fedora? So Fedora is actually a layer in the Hydra stack. It is part of the Hydra stack. In the literature, you'll often see the Hydra Fedora repository or Fedora Hydra repository when people are considering what to adopt. Karen's diagram clearly showed that Fedora is right underneath all the other layers in the environment, though it's in a different platform with a different history and more contributors. Fedora is the thing that actually stores our objects and is persistence. It is one of the fundamental guarantees and one of the fundamental value propositions for what Hydra brings to an institution. Yes, a lot of institutions come to Hydra because of the rich front ends and the great workflow and the great community, but every institution or almost every institution is also there because we know that the objects are getting taken care of in the long term. Hydra originated as a front end for Fedora. The meetings that we originally held at the University of Virginia trying to figure out, we like the Fedora data model, but we want to make it slightly more practical. Hydra was conceived as the peanut butter to its jelly. And it was designed in from the very start. Fedora has also co-evolved with Hydra. In many cases, Fedora 4 was a response for many of us who were involved in that initiative is that we saw Hydra moving forward and going past Fedora 3's capabilities and community response. Fedora 4 is in part an outgrowth of that, and this is reflected in the Fedora community's current support structure. Not only do we have a wonderful set of code contributors, many of whom are resourced from the Hydra community, but there are currently, or there are about 74 or 75 Fedora members that actually contribute money to DuraSpace to help support the Fedora project. 37, so half of those institutions are also Hydra institutions. So it's a pretty significant chunk of the energy, of the capital, and of the thought process. So them is us. I think strategically we can also look at the Fedora community as a source of new adopters for Hydra. And as Ben, I think Ben was saying, this is the space that we've all agreed to play in. Fedora, regardless of the current technology, it's how we agree to tackle the issues of persistence and managing our objects and the relationships of those objects. That is going to change over time. There will be, there's Fedora 4 now, there'll be a Fedora 4.x as we march through, there will be a Fedora 5. Because if we are successful, this is the common way that we have agreed to tackle these approaches. So here's a very simple flowchart, which I'm sure you cannot see from the back of the room. So I'll read it out. As a Hydra user, I want an awesome Fedora in my stack to do the things that Fedora is good at. Is Fedora done? If yes, is Fedora perfect? If yes, congratulations, you're done. You don't need to worry about Fedora. So, is Fedora done? No, help advance Fedora. Refine Hydra to better leverage Fedora so they can continue to co-evolve and reassess. When it's done and perfect, we can skip to the end. So, one of the things that we talk about in the Fedora leadership community is how do we get the same energy and the same level of investment that we see around Hydra development infused into Fedora? How do we actually structure ongoing development and commitment to Fedora as an equally important part of the stack, the same way we would look at Sophia or curation concerns or active Fedora? And a question that we can ask ourselves, if this is the foundation, if these are the legs upon which our platform is standing or our application framework is standing, how can Hydra advance Fedora to meet its needs? The Islandora community, our bizarro twins working in PHP, recently organized into the Islandora Foundation, and this is the first year that they published a set of strategic goals. And if you look at the Islandora Foundation site, you'll find them. So there are things like grow and sustain the Islandora community, focus Islandora development and resources on Islandora Claw, and they have six supporting planks in that platform. The fourth one, which is highlighted in yellow, is support the Fedora 4 community and its development efforts. A question that we should ask ourselves, is this something that the Hydra community should do? Can we formally say that we recognize and support the value that Fedora, the community, the shared social space, this data model, this collaboration, being in the same boat, is this something that we can say, this is not someone else's problem, I sure hope Andrew finds some developers because performance is really a dog. Is this something that we can say, hey, this is a problem for us, we're informing the requirements, we're going to be the direct beneficiaries. Let's cleverly combine sprints at Penn State and other places, and can we address the fundamental performance concerns, the fundamental feature concerns, not only for Hydra, by pulling in talented other Fedora developers and developers from the Islandora community. So just one more example or one more case, similar to Karen's, is the Hydra in a Box project is actually allocating cycles. There is currently an issue within Fedora with collections with a large number of members. ESBE has rather pragmatically just inversed the relationship for managing that at the Hydra layer, and we're looking for a fundamental fix to actually increase performance in Fedora. So the Hydra in a Box project, because it needs a performant Hydra or a performant Fedora to also go in the box, is actually allocating grant cycles and development time to fix that structurally in the underlying layer, the right layer in Karen's diagram to actually get this addressed. So that's an example, and I think we're ready for questions, but we have some riveting questions in case you guys are all asleep.
Okay, so that's the challenge. Can you come up with a riveting question? So do we have another question? At the back.
Do you know about Ben's Cavendish application and
Did you, I am aware of the name and all of the great puns around clothing. And I think there are several people who can better address that topic.
Perhaps Ben has heard of Ben's too.
So maybe you should come up.
Sure. So I have two answers to that question. One is, yes, Cavendish can address this performance problem, but no, it doesn't answer the question of whether the problem is fixed, because for all of the reasons that I embark upon the Cavendish adventure, I don't think that Cavendish can be the only fedora either. I think that you need to we need to be looking at what we can do, and the solutions. It's an infinite rabbit hole of answers to this question, or like the rabbit hole of forking tunnels.
I'm trying to translate that, but I'm working.
Does that make sense? So I don't think you can do it. I don't think the answer here is fix it on some alternative implementation, and everybody who's using JCR can take a hike, right? You have to find ways to float those solutions over, and also the JCR implementation has a number of institutions, including the one I work for, using it, and Cavendish is me on weekends, so. It's really good for arguing about specifications, but I don't think I would put it forward as the answer to a question.
Okay, thank you, Ben. Next question, Mike.
So, Ben, this is for you. I've heard you answer this before when I've asked you, but maybe the audience hasn't and would benefit from it. So let's assume there's a future where we have a JCR.
That's a bold assumption.
Yeah. So let's assume we have this future where we have a JCR and a Blazecraft implementation of Fedora. If the them is us presentation was to urge more contributions in the one Fedora we have, what are your thoughts on our potential capacity for maintaining two Fedora implementations?
Yeah. Okay. Great question. Great question. I'm riveted by this question. So we have some lessons from history about this, and you can, I think, you know, what we're doing right now, broadly speaking, organizationally, is debating what lesson to actually draw from the history of these projects. So if you look back at the recent, relatively recent history of the Fedora project, there was a fairly long phase of, I'm going to try and pick a word carefully. I'm going to say complacency about the product, that underestimated both the amount of labor required to keep the thing as it exists up, but also the amount of work that went into it, because the transitions between the pre-UVA Fedora and Fedora 2 and Fedora 3 were, I mean, significant, but actually, like, graduated, right? Like, there were small evolutionary changes. Much of what was in Fedora 3 has lineages that go straight back to original commits, Sandy Payette. Name on the in the author attribution, right? So I think there was a tendency there to think of it only in terms of really recent changes, not thinking of it as something that took 10 years to write. But the truth of it is, you know, if you're using Fedora 3.8.1, you're using a product that took the better part of a decade and several million dollars of funding to put together. So as we have pivoted to other fedoras, what's the point of a lot of this work going on? A lot of the way that we structured our efforts with Fedora 4 on JCR was to recognize the limitations of our ability to rely on more than a decade of FTEs and several seven-figure budgets to put a software project together. So, vastly thinner, right? Just right out of the, I am spitballing, but I think the last time I checked, something like 8% of the lines of code, right? And that it's much, much smaller, just hacked off more than 200,000 lines of code when in Fedora 4. And how do we do that? We did that by moving that responsibility somewhere else, right? So we pick somebody who looks like they might be a responsible partner, looks like they have an API to work against, and we work against that API. There's trade-offs there, right? It's you've relocated risk and cost somewhere else with some potential prospective benefits, but also some potential prospective problems. And I think what I see when I look at alternative implementations to Fedora is a number of people trying to minimize even further the size of the shim, essentially, that allows you to bundle up what we really understand, and this I think is the real product of 20 years of Fedora, is this continually evolving but also continually refined understanding of what that repository actually is, right? So I just to kind of give you some milestones of where we started and where we ended up, right? If you look at really old writing about Fedora, you see a lot of references to handles, right? And that by itself is instructive, because as anybody handle servers, anybody run one, like done one, know the deal? You're like weird situation, right? It's like handles. We don't need DNS, right? We don't even want it. We just it's like a TCP protocol because the internet might go down. If you look at where we've ended up, where DOIs or easy IDs or whatever you're doing now, linked data in general, there's an idea that things exist in resolvable ways and a little bit. I wouldn't say it's a transition away from the idea that that they might not, but I think it's an acceptance of an idea that if they don't, it's like disaster planning in at Columbia. When we say what will we do about the library website if the data center is underwater? And then the follow-on question is, well, that means that there's been a 60-foot tsunami that hit the eastern seaboard. Who is looking at the library website, right? disaster planning is important. I'm not saying that, but there's some recognition about the limits of all of this is recognizing limits of your capacity, right? It's reconsidering your project as a library software developer in recognition of those limits. So I think the big answer is we define specifications and try and do less work.
Ben, would you say that alternative exploration of alternative implementations gives us a sharper and more refined understanding of the functions that Fedora provides and its values?
Yeah. I would say that. I would say that in almost those exact words.
Thank you. Because of time, we're going to have to move on, I'm afraid, but I'm sure there'll be room for discussion in the bars and in the spaces around the library during the rest of today. But thank you very much to Ben.